Hey y'all, it's Dr. Pookie with a quick announcement about the show. Dark Boy and I have decided to make a few changes because we'd like to get the running time for the typical episode at an hour or less. And so going forward, for each episode, only one of us will do a blacklist and the other will do a letter. So for this episode, Dark Boy will be bringing the blacklist and I will be bringing in a letter from one of our female listeners. And we're going to see how this format goes. And of course, the discussion will always flow. And I will have my monologues and soliloquies because I can't help myself. But in the meantime, we're just trying to make the show a bit more practical because the demands on each of our lives have gotten turned up a bit. And also with this recent home disaster I'm dealing with, it's gotten that much more difficult to put the show together. So I apologize in advance for the audio quality on my stream. It was what it was, and yeah, we did what we could. Alrighty, see you guys. Hope you're having a great week, and I should get out of the way so we can carry on with the show. Best to you.
Welcome to the Sexual Healing Podcast from Top to Bottom. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and always at my side is
Dark Boy.
Welcome back, Dark Boy. How was your week?
It was good.
Okay.
Yours?
You know, I'm not sure how much to bitch, but I will say that slumlords are really not cool.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, slumlords. I have to rename them slumlords because we've been telling them hoes for over a year about leaking in our bathroom with the shower and blah, blah, blah. And our neighbor, you know, every time she takes a shower, it's water pouring out the damn windowsill.
And homegirl, she didn't seem to care.
No, she didn't, because her ass was crazy. But after she accused her man of kicking her ass one night and they arrested his ass, he was like, okay, I'm through with you. And he left her, so he was paying her rent for the last 14 years. So she was out on the street. You know, she was cool with me, but she was hateful to all the other women in the building.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, she felt like if you were anywhere near the look of someone that could take a man, she didn't like you. She was real bitchy and shady to you. But because I was a guy, she was always real nice and spoke and very, you know, very congenial. So, you know, I was cool. But yeah, it was a hot ass mess. And so it has been very challenging of late. We had to vacate our place because, you know, they had some asbestos removal that they suddenly discovered in the bathroom, and they had to dry out a wall that had been saturated after a flood from my neighbor's unit. And so they opened up that wall to dry it out. It's supposed to take one day. It took three. And keep in mind, we were told we'd be back in our place within 5, possibly 6 days. So we are now 11 days. No, we are 12. This is day 12. We've been out. And so they discovered some more moisture in the walls. And they have since opened up the kitchen wall that is shared with the bathroom. And probably the external wall, because that original wall that all the water was leaking through, it's a mess. So I went in my room and it's basically looking like E.T. in there. When HUD or infectious disease control came through and plasticked and taped up the house, that's what our place looks like right now. So we are eager to move. You know, my mom and I, we'd hate being further away from, you know, from her grandbabies and my niece and nephew, or my nieces and nephew, but it's time to go. It's just time to go. It was supposed to be a temporary place anyway, until we really figured out what part of town do we want to live in, but we're both so damn busy, we just don't even get to thinking about that stuff. But Yeah, so basically I miss my bed. I miss my creature comforts.
Your own stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, you know, and I miss my high-speed internet because I can't even, I can't get work done at home anymore. So it's a hot-ass mess. I'm tired. I'm contemplating, you know, slapping up bitches. I'm just over it.
Yeah, see, I don't have anybody to slap up, so I'm good.
Yeah, I got a list. But, you know, I am going to say peace and love on all that foolishness and move it on, move it forth. So basically, on the Sexual Healing Podcast, because I believe we didn't even talk about the intro, we discuss life from our perspective as two black gay men living in Southern California, and we happen to be in our 40s. So we talk about all the triumphs, the tragedies, the overcomings, and the general foolishness and the things that we wish we knew then that we know now. But we are here to tell you we made our mistakes, we fucked up, but we are still here and kicking and looking forward to the next chapter. So, on with the show.
Yes.
Yes. So take it away, Dark Boy.
So, I thought it was a good idea to do underrated singers. You know, singers that are talented, they have good songs, but you don't hear about them too much. So I will start with my number three. And I think this lady had been out of the game for a while and just came back with something, with a new CD. And that is Miss A. Marie. Do you know who she is?
Oh, yes. It's Just One Thing that got me tripping.
Yes.
That was my cut.
That's her.
Yes. Yep. And also with her duet with LL Cool J, Why Don't We Fall in Love, which was also really nice.
Okay. She had another good song called Touch. That was another good one she had.
Oh, I didn't know she was getting touched nowadays. All right.
Yeah. Well, but again, that was a while back, but she just had a new one.
Oh, Touch it's just was coming her out. Last one. Yeah, that had One Thing and all that on it.
Yeah, but that was, yeah. But she has a new one now called, the album I think is called After 4 a.m. or something like that.
Ooh.
And the song that I've heard is called Don't Say a Word, which actually is pretty good. It's kind of a, like, mid-tempo, kind of a slower song, but it sounded good to me. I don't know how the reviews have been of this CD, but sounded good to me.
Okay, I didn't realize that she was back out with anything, because I still stick with the tried and true classics, so I don't be on top of the radio.
Well, I just heard that she'd come out with something. This past week is when I heard it.
Okay.
And that's what made me even think of this topic. So I thought, oh, well, that might be because, you know, you don't hear, you know, I didn't even know it had been so long that she had been gone. Basically, like 8 years, I think, is when her last CD came out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a long time to be gone and to try to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she definitely went underground for a while.
Yeah, way deep underground.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool that she's back, though. All right, girl.
Yeah. So hopefully she, you know, this builds her up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, and I can't remember what her reputation is as a singer. Like, can she really sing or is she just cute? Because, you know, sadly, that's a thing. So it's
I think of her as being able to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's cute. Now, she doesn't sound like Fantasia or anything like that with this strong voice. I'm not saying her voice is weak. She just doesn't. I mean, I think she's a good singer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, it's interesting because again, I haven't put Touch in or pulled up any of those tracks. I mean, I have One Thing on my usual playlist on my iPad or my iPod.
Yeah,
rather.
Me too.
Yeah. So, and I think I have Why Don't We Fall in Love on another. Less frequently played playlists, but yeah, I mean, she definitely, you know, it's hard to tell because there are a lot of studio marvels out there. You know, the days of Aretha, Patti, you know, even Dionne Warwick, some would question her position in the Pantheon, but Gladys Knight, you know, yeah, those girls that could really blow, you know, those days seem to be over because the industry just doesn't want to be bothered if you don't have the right look. So, but okay.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm curious. Yep. So have you heard any of her new stuff yet?
Well, the one song called Don't Say a Word.
Okay.
Which is kind of a slower, kind of a mid-tempo slower one. But again, it sounded good to me. So now that's the only one I've heard of whatever new stuff she's got coming out.
Okay. So. I had to check it out. Check her out. Okay.
All right. My number two is a singer. Now, I had only heard of this person just a couple months ago, and I just happened to hear a song of hers, and I was like, who is that? And I didn't know who she was, so I had to use that Shazam app on my phone to figure out who it was. And her name is Elle Varner.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, she had a fabulous song called Stop the Clock.
Oh.
And that was a song that I had heard. I thought, oh, who is this?
Hmm.
And so it's kind of like a breakup song, just because, just listening to the lyrics, but just the way she sings it, the lyrics, the style of the music, it is just, I love it.
Oh.
And the sad part, though, is, I mean, she's had other songs. Mm-hmm. She had one called Refill. She had another one called Only Want to Give It to You. But the one that I think is the best is Stop the Clock, and they didn't release that. That was not a release that, you know, that you would hear on the radio or could buy, you know, the single or anything like that. It wasn't released, and I thought, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you, of all the songs, why wouldn't you release that one? So I'll have to give you, like, links to the videos and stuff or to the...
Okay, yeah.
You could put it in the show notes, yeah.
Exactly, and I don't know if you noticed, the website has been overhauled, although there's still a couple of little things that are not working like I thought they would, but I'm trying to build that out a little more for our followers. Okay. So yeah, we'll have to provide a spotlight for A-Marie and for Ms. Elle Varner and whomever is number one on your list of underrated singers.
Yes. All right, so number one, now this person, I just kind of discovered her by accident. She was one of the performers on, what is his name? Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
And I think I recorded this, I don't normally watch his show, but I think I recorded it because I happened to see somebody else that I wanted to see interviewed by him. I wanted to see them. And so this person, her name is Emily Sandy. She happened to be on there as the performer. So I thought, oh my God, that was so good. She has a song called It Hurts. That is a, like, I would describe it as like just a soul-bearing, just, you know, song of hurt and betrayal.
Oh my.
And just the way she sang it on there, I thought, I had to look her up as soon as I heard it. So.
Now that's my kind of song.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll send you the thing.
Okay.
That one she did make a video for, so that's on YouTube.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I could forward you the link to it. Yeah, but just a really, really powerful song. Then she has another one called Heaven, which is kind of a much more upbeat song, but still just fabulous. So, see? But to me, these are really, to me, especially Elle Varner and Emily Sandy, those are both really great singers, and I don't see them. I don't see them on billboards, or I don't hear their songs. You know, I am just happy to discover these people. So it's like, I'm sure there's a whole bunch more. You know, they're not out filling up stadiums like Miss Beyonce. No shade to Beyonce or anything like that, but they're not filling up stadiums like Beyonce. But they are still great singers. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll be excited to get those links from you, because the last two, I've probably heard some of their stuff and just not known who it is, because I do hear a little more popular radio in the car nowadays.
See, when I'm in the car, it's whatever music is on my phone.
Oh,
like that radio hardly goes on. That radio could break and I wouldn't even know it.
Exactly. I mean, I used to drive and had my iPod Classic, like the 160 gigabyte hard drive, and it was just loaded up with all, I mean, my entire library from my desktop computer was there, and I still have another 200 to 300 CDs to actually import into that thing, so you can imagine. But it was at 80 gigabytes at that point, So that's what I listen to. I mean, I have my playlist for the car. So I will be intrigued to hear these ladies and see what they are bringing to the scene.
Okay. Yes, okay. I will send them.
All right. Well.
All right. That's now. I want to say one.
Yes.
Runner up.
Okay.
And I don't know if she's doing music anymore. Is Heather Headley?
Oh, I love Heather.
Yes, that's I don't know if she's doing music girl. Anymore, but she had. Yeah, she that song in my mind. That is on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful, but like, yeah, to me, she's like a runner up. So. I just didn't want to leave her out.
Yeah, in my mind, as well as I didn't mean to do it, he is. That first album she did was like, ooh. And she's a Broadway girl.
But is she still performing or anything? Or singing?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. Okay.
Yeah, but Heather Headley is a bad girl. Yeah, I have her. She's on. Yeah, I think each of the three songs that I mentioned are on my regular rotation playlist. So definitely. Okay. Yeah, she's a worthy honorable mention, if not a number one. You know?
Okay.
But that's my biased opinion.
For your list, she's number one, or could be number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, that would be a hard list. I mean, I would definitely need to take a week to put that together because. I'm not even thinking about Heather Headley because to me, she was never underrated. I mean, her career maybe was shorter than it could have been or should have been, but that may have been because of her decisions. Like, I got some other stuff that requires my attention, so I don't know. Okay.
All right.
All righty. So today, our main topic is an oldie but goodie. I think we've touched on it previously, and that is toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Something that you hear about a lot. It's one of those buzzwords or buzz phrases nowadays, but it's kind of like is real. We see it. And so if you're wondering what in the world is toxic masculinity, it's basically this old school male dominance type of, perspective on the world where men basically are in charge, can do no wrong, and that women and children are subservient. And so we wanted to just kind of talk about some of those aspects because I believe as gay men, particularly as black gay men, we catch some extra crap, I would say. As black men, we're certainly trained to go after this masculine ideal in our demeanor and in the way we run our lives. And obviously, as gay men, it's even more so the case. So when you put those two together, it's dicey. And you just have a lot of young black boys that are just like, I'm not sure how to be. Like, do I perform or can I just be me? So I think that's an opening. But I know Dark Boy had some burning thoughts on this. So I'm going to turn the floor over to him and we will go.
Yeah, my thing is I just wonder... What I was telling you earlier, I have a feeling that the reason why Me Too is such a big thing is because I'm glad it's being brought to light. I just think that it's part of what you just described as the toxic masculinity, where I think that a lot of men, don't respect women. It's more like they're in a constant state of having to prove to themselves and to other people how manly they are. And they're out doing things that are irritating to other people or dangerous or harmful, but they can't seem to break free of... It's been so ingrained, I think, that they have to do this thing to constantly prove that they're a man. That, you know, that's why you have a person like Kavanaugh who just got, put on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, 45 in the White House, you know.
Grabbing pussies.
It's like there's no respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then part of it is like, you know, but also about men can't show emotion, or you're not supposed to show emotion, because if you do, then you're not a real man. You know, to me, I just think we're doing a lot to people. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, you know what? I wonder if we're just really just putting too much pressure on some end. That's why we're having all these shootings and stuff. It's just, to me, it's a whole, I think there's a whole lot of stuff that's connected to it. I mean, it might be more than we could do in one episode, but.
Well, I mean, I think breaking it down into the different components, certainly with the idea of, you know, this toxic masculinity perspective on men's sexuality, basically you are supposed to be, you know, coming out of the womb knowing how to fuck and please a woman.
We've had a couple of questions about that. Well,
yeah,
you know, from the baristas who don't want to tell the man what to do, but mm-hmm. they're frustrated, so.
Yeah, and they're just, you know, and especially, I mean, it's also, I think, within our ranks as same gender loving men, as I don't know if I would put men who have sex with men in our category, because that's, they don't identify as same gender loving or gay, but any sort of men that have sex with other men, there are a lot of these outdated notions about, oh, the man is the top and he's penetrating and he's taking care of the bottom in all sorts of different ways, and the bottom is supposed to be, even if they're not the more feminine of the two, there is still this strange power dynamic even between two men. And we've seen situations where people, you know, have had to say, motherfucker, I still have a dick. What is wrong with you? You know, it's just like, and it's just a lot of this heteronormative behavior that pops up. But I think also the other thing is that it fuels this aggressive male sexuality. So you,
yeah, that's what I was referring to when I was talking about Kavanaugh and Trump and all these other people who are doing, seem to be smart guys, mm-hmm. who, like, what are you doing? Why, you know?
Yeah, this sense of ownership, I mean, and entitlement.
Yeah, entitlement, mm-hmm. is what it's. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it shows up for us certainly if you're out at a bar or a club and some random guy just walks up to you and puts his arm around your lower back, which to me it's a very intimate thing to do, doesn't know me, barely even says hi, just walks up to me and just grabs you and pulls him up against his body. You're like, what the fuck? I mean, and certainly it's like, oh, it's nice to know that I'm bringing the boys to the yard, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's like, geez, do I know you? Like, did we wake up fucking? I'm confused.
Let me see the yard first before you bring it to me.
Okay. Does that yard have some humps and bumps, or is it all good? You know, I don't know. But it's definitely, I think we've talked about, like, you know, I think that time I went to the Eagle and just got completely molested and accosted trying to get from one side of the bar to the other.
Yes, I think I know which one, that story.
Yeah, I can't remember what episode it was in. But yeah, we, you know, just like, basically, I would have been due an orgasm by the time I got to the bathroom, because it was just, yeah, I got groped and rubbed and prodded, snatched. And yeah, one guy put his hand down the back of my pants. It was, you know, and so, yeah. So, I mean, I think some of that feeds this idea of, certainly as men, we're taught to sight our prey and go after it. But then you also have these situations where the prey, quote unquote, because they're not prey, when they don't want you, you get, you know, the street harassment where it's like, hey, baby, yeah, let me blah, blah, blah. And then when a woman ignores him, like, fuck you, bitch, you ain't even that cute anyway.
Yeah.
It's see, now, all of that.
Well, I hear those stories. Obviously, I'm not experiencing that.
Yeah.
But I do hear, you know, the catcalling, all that kind of stuff. And like, it, mm-hmm. you know.
Have you ever been the subject of issue. Have you ever been catcalling? Yeah,
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think maybe once or twice, but when I was younger.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to me a couple of times, and it's really weird. I mean, obviously, as men, we would likely experience it differently than the average woman would. Unless, of course,
yeah.
you know, we're behind bars or we're incarcerated in a prison, jail, or maybe a mental health facility, you know, for the criminally insane kind of thing, where there is a legitimate danger of, you know, sexualized violence, you know, visiting us. But as a guy on the street, just, you know, getting out of my car in a parking lot, I'm walking down the alley to get to a store. I was in, was it West Hollywood? Yeah, it was about four or five guys sitting on the back steps of the Gold Coast. You remember the Gold Coast? I think it's still there. I don't know if it's been renamed. I haven't been to...
I think it's still there.
Yeah, I haven't been clubbing in West Hollywood in a good two or three years. And so they were just like whistling and, hey, baby, that's a nice ass. And I'm like, okay, you'll never know. It's just, you know, because I was just like, ugh. I was like, wow, this really sounds ridiculous.
They were probably doing that for their, you know, for their friends.
They were.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of, that's the big part of the thing. They, again, it's having to prove to your friends, look how man, you know, they're not saying that, but that to me is what it is. Well, look how manly I am. I'm not afraid to approach people even though they ain't approaching me, you know?
Yeah. I just found the whole situation to be really absurd because I did nothing to say to these guys I was available or willing to be pursued in that way. And it was fascinating because it was only a glimpse of what the average woman puts up with on the street because I was still male. I am still, you know, over 6 feet tall. I'm not a delicate flower. So there wasn't this idea of, oh, one of these guys could like easily overpower me and just take my shit. And so, but it was this thing of like, okay, it's four or five of them.
Overpower
you. That could be a problem. It was dark outside. You know, I mean, the area I was walking in was well lit, which is why they were all up in my Kool-Aid anyway. So it was a little different. I would say it wasn't nearly as threatening and as, you know, as daunting as what the average woman puts up with. But it was a very odd experience where I just said, wow, y'all really do this shit? Okay. It's just, that was my reaction to it. And and I had the privilege, the male privilege of being able to say that's ridiculous. But I mean, if you look at it, it's a real danger for a gang rape or for a certain a degree of harassment. But because even toxic masculinity basically says that men are the stronger sex and we are not allowed to be victims and all this other stuff, men will do things to women because they're like, yeah, well, I'm bigger than you, I'm stronger than you, I can do whatever I want. But with other men, it's not to say it's wholly different, but it's not as cut and dry.
Yeah.
And I think the other part of it is this idea that any and everyone is available to you for sex, whether they consent or not, which is definitely where we get into the Kavanaugh,
yes,
and the 45 of it all, where...
And all of these other people who... That's what I was referring to when I said smart people. These guys that are works at studios and they're news reporters. And to me, they're brilliant guys, but why are you doing this craziness on the side? You know, or so that's what I was referring to earlier. But yeah, there just seems to be kind of I think that's where that disconnect comes from. It's like, okay, he's a really smart guy, beautiful, you know, successful guy, beautiful wife or whatever. And he's over here doing this other craziness. And I think that's where this disconnect is. It's like, he's not still trying to prove himself. I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but...
Well, yeah, and I agree. But I think that I feel like part of what makes masculinity so toxic for a lot of us is that we do have to prove it. We feel compelled to prove it through these behaviors, whether it's this idea of rugged individualism, like, I don't need anyone's help, real men don't cry.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the idea of, you know, keeping emotions in check or not being allowed to have them. You know, once upon a time, the only emotions men were allowed access to without criticism were basically
anger.
It's like, that was about it, you know, anger and rage. And so you had and you still have a lot of boys being raised to disconnect from their emotions, or at the very least to keep them to themselves, so they're not asking for the help that they need. and you have these boys in high school and junior high that are getting into trouble because they're sexually assaulting and violating their classmates. And that's scary and sad.
Well, yeah, at that young age, again, that's, you know.
Yeah.
What are they going to be like when they get older? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, in kindergarten now, they're suspending kids for quote-unquote sexual assault because they touched a classmate inappropriately. And I'm like, these are 5- and 6-year-old kids. They don't know what the hell that is. I mean, some of them unfortunately do because
some do.
They witness shit in the home, you know. But I do feel like, I don't know. It's hard because it's always going to be a judgment call with any sorts of behaviors that can be seen as invasive or sexualized amongst kids. I worry about my nephew, you know, going to school. And my sister has been very clear with him, like, look, you don't do this, this, or this. I understand what you mean by it. I, you know, it's affection in our household and in our family, but you may not do this out and about in the world. And so that part is really challenging for him on some level. I'm certain of that. So I do think that it can be really tough for kids nowadays, particularly for little boys, because the Me Too movement, it is turning the tide about this whole idea of boys will be boys. It's like, no, boys will be criminals.
Like, yeah.
You do this. And so it shrinks down that gray area where it's like, okay, this is a 7-year-old who likes his classmate and he gave her a hug. And she really either didn't have an opportunity to consent to the hug and it upset her, or people started making fun of her. And so she went and said, hey, you know, he grabbed me, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, as a teacher, what do you do with that? And then what do you say to your child when they get home?
Yeah, I
don't know. Just, it's making it complicated for kids that are just not old enough to process all this. And I think also when, you know, you mentioned the school shootings earlier.
Yeah, or job shootings, whatever kind of shoot, just mass shootings in general.
Exactly. This idea, and it tends to be white males. And, you know, we'll call them white boys, white men. It tends to be that demographic more than anyone else. And my theory behind that is they have basically been raised to believe that the world is their oyster. And if they somehow have been deprived of what they believe should be theirs, they are very angry. They are frustrated, you know, and they just, the only way they know how to lash out, because they can't, you know, they can't sit there and cry because that makes it even worse.
Well, yeah, you'll be ripped to shreds over that.
Yeah, the only thing they have to access at that point is anger and rage. And if you let that fester long enough, it's going to break out in some really unfortunate ways. Now, I don't know if we've ever been able to do any sort of actual in-the-flesh research on our school shooters, job shooters. I believe they usually kill themselves or they're killed by the police. But it would be interesting. I mean, we have journals from them, and you can kind of see a pattern of escalation going on and death lists and hit lists and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think we've explored all the main bad sides of toxic masculinity. So maybe we can shift in closing out this portion of the show to what are some positive aspects of masculinity in general? Like, what are some of the positives of being a man that we'd like to make sure that our listeners, and, you know, whether they are young, whether they are raising sons, what do we think they need to know?
I mean, I think men do tend to be stronger, physically stronger. I mean, I do think, and that's not a bad thing. I think it's how you use it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're using your strength to protect people from maybe other people who are not all together, that's a good thing. I think if you're a strong person, you'll be able to protect your girlfriend, your children, your wife, your mom, your sister, whoever, or men too. Mm-hmm. If you're able to use that to protect that, to me, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, I mean, that's just one right there.
Your comment kind of reminds me of a documentary that I saw when I was actively working on staff with the domestic violence prevention program. The video was called My Masculinity Helps. And it was targeting black men and boys and the discussions they have about intimate relationships and gender roles, and how are men supposed to deal with disappointment, rejection, anger, frustration, you know, these different things that can feed into violence against an intimate partner, against their child, against other people, period. And they talked about this whole idea of your masculinity and any of those physical gifts that come with it, having responsibilities. Not saying that men have to protect and provide a la Steve Harvey. We're not going to go there with it.
Well, yeah.
But just the idea that in a relationship, there are two of you. You have your strengths. You have your weaknesses that you bring to the relationship. You have a responsibility to put them in play and use them responsibly.
Yeah.
Period. If that means protecting your child or protecting your spouse, you know, your woman, your man, whoever it may be, that's what you need to do. But I think part of maturation and getting wise is figuring out ways to do that and not end up catching the case. As a parent, you know, you're going to protect your child. But the whole thing is, are there other ways that we as men can be out there in the world and be a positive presence and yet, you know, protect those we love and contribute? I don't know. I may have gone off the deep end there.
No. I mean, it's all that sounds good. I do think it has to be it can't be an individual thing. It can't be one person doing it, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree.
It has to be, people just have to come to a realization, hey, this is part of what the problem is. So, I mean, I know that people want the sexual harassment to stop. And I get that. I think part of that stopping, though, is kind of just rethinking of how these boys are raised. How are they raised? Because it doesn't make any sense to raise them this way where they have to be in a constant state of having to prove that they're a man or a boy or whatever. And then when they do it as an adult, and now they say, well, no, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be consistent. If you don't want the sexual harassment to keep going for future generations, then stuff has to be done now so that, you know, the generations to come know better, you know.
I agree.
That's just how it is. So, and I have a feeling that there's going to be some reluctance to that. And I don't know. The one thing that I would say that I am always surprised at, and I know I probably we're jumping around. The one thing is how these there are teachers, female teachers. I've never heard of a time where there were so many female teachers that are getting fired, arrested, in trouble, whatever you want to say it, for doing things with their students, teenage students, underage students, and men, you know, boys I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so I am surprised that we've kind of gotten to the point where these women have to go to jail, they lose their jobs, they have to register as a sex offender. I never thought we would get to that point, because I think part of the, what I read earlier, part of the toxic masculinity is that men cannot be victims, or boys can't be victims. So in that one sense, people are willing to
Well, they're not allowed to be victims, but...
Yeah. But in that one instance, people are saying, yeah, this is a wrong thing, even though it's sex, and the thing is like, well, boys want sex all the time, so it doesn't really matter. that's kind of the thing that's said. But I'm still surprised every time I see that a female teacher has done it, got caught, and is now in trouble. So maybe things are changing. I don't know.
Well, but the interesting thing there is that you still have a certain segment of men that privately and sometimes in, you know, exclusive spaces that are all male, that they're almost kind of applauding the fact that this young boy was able to get an older woman. And it's just, it ignores the trauma that that boy may have experienced, because 15-year-olds may not be ready for sex emotionally. Some could be, but a lot of them aren't ready. They don't, you know, or they get hold of some good stuff and they sprung and just ruined. Part of it is not just, oh, my stuff works and I've seen some stuff on a video, I'm going to do that. It's also understanding all the emotional aspects of being intimate with someone. And I hate to say, but a lot of our kids don't really understand that. And so it is interesting. I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, I think more than anything, it's great to be a man. It's great to be a human, period. And so I definitely, in this age of Me Too and a lot of the stuff that men as a collective are being called out for that has happened throughout history and is still happening in some cases, I don't want our boys and even our younger men to lose track of the fact that, hey, it's not inherently bad to be a man. I encountered one guy that just... he was white. He was, you know, a really solid guy, like, you know, good husband material. He was straight and classified, you know, he considered himself to be a feminist, but he was almost ashamed of being a white man. And I said to him, I was like, dude, you have certain privilege that you have a responsibility to use to affect the change you want to see in the world. You can't shrink away from being a white man.
Yeah, the people who need to hear about racism and sexism and all this kind of stuff, they need to hear, they're not going to listen to it if it's, they will listen to it if it's from another white man that's telling them. Well, some of them will.
Exactly.
So, yeah he can't shrink away. You're right. He cannot shrink away because... they're not going to, because to us, I think when they hear either women talk about sexual harassment or the things that men do, or they hear black people talking about this is racist, this is racist, I think all they hear is like the sounds you hear on the Charlie Brown cartoon when the other people are talking, that nonsense, whatever that is. I think that's all they hear. That's all they hear. They don't hear what's being said, but I think if they hear it from another person that happens to look somewhat like they do, they may be more willing to listen.
Yeah, I think that this Kavanaugh confirmation was particularly disappointing because, I mean, I believe that the deck was stacked anyway. The fact that it even became a question of, is he going to be confirmed? That's just like, are you guys serious? Like, of course you're confirming him. That's like, you did everything you could think of to not give people a reason to not confirm him. It was crazy. I mean, hiding, you know, and withholding some of his judicial records and all that. It was clear the fix was in. But I do think it was very fascinating that we had another Anita Hill person get put up there and really made to look dishonest and silly and everything else. And I'm just like, no, she is deserving of all the respect we can muster because she knew what she was up against. And she still said, let's do this shit. So, you know, much respect to Dr. Blasey Ford.
And Anita, because she was the first.
And, you know, Miss Anita, again, I believe she's Dr. Hill. You know, Dr. Anita Hill, much respect to you as well. As you know, as one of those pioneers that took your lumps in a Senate hearing. And I also hope that in viewing that, you know, amongst our listeners who are young ladies and women, because we know you're out there, don't let this that has happened dissuade you from telling your story. It's an uphill climb in a lot of cases because, you know, men are willing to protect one another in these things. And there are people that aren't going to believe you, but that's their problem, not yours. The best you can do is to speak your truth. If that is what you need to do in that moment, do that. Do whatever you need to do to protect yourself and to affirm yourself so you can recover from the trauma you've suffered. So it's shitty that you have to prove all these things and you have to be open to all this ridicule and bullshit. But again, ladies, take heart and recognize that you have a voice and it's getting louder by the day. And eventually, y'all are going to be able to drown out the old boys club. But some of them fools are still out there. They're still kicking.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a little while. Take a little longer than we want. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, because I think things like rape and sexual assault are just, as long as we have these patriarchal restraints on women and their sexuality, things like rape and sexual assault are going to be really hard to prosecute. Because the question is always, well, what did she do? What was she wearing? It's like, who gives a fuck? Just really? Like, is that what we're doing nowadays? It's such bullshit.
But, yeah, see, and the thing that I've seen before is, like, people are willing to tell women, well, or you shouldn't have worn that, but no one's willing to tell the guy, oh, you shouldn't have raped. You shouldn't have sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that part. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's consistently their fault.
You got to raise these boys different than the previous generation.
Yeah, because, I mean, sexual consent is not hard to grasp. I mean, you have these apologists out there saying, well, you know, these boys don't understand. And it's like, and I saw someone saying, for you to really understand what sexual consent is and how it can be withdrawn. Remember they had the post about, you know, try to stick your finger up a guy's ass. You know, ladies try to do that. And all of a sudden he's like, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're like, he just withdrew consent for that. So if you expect me to stop, you should be able to stop too, because it's not like you don't understand that you're not being violated here, you know. And it's like, it's just another excuse to, you know, continue to classify women as the property of men. But that shit's coming to a close. It might take some more generations, but it's coming to a close.
Yeah, and I think they could see it coming, and that's part of the reason why.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like some of them do, but they don't want to own it. You know, I'm not that kind of guy, and it's like, well, maybe you're not, but when your buddy says or does something fucked up, you don't check him, so you are that kind of guy. We all have a responsibility to check this shit, and if we're not going to do it, it's never going to change.
That's what I was saying. It can't just be individual. One person. It's got to be an individual, a group thing, or a society thing, or it just has to be different, and everybody has to kind of participate in it.
Yeah, because I've been kicked off, you know, kicked off the island for daring to challenge and question men on some of the things they do, but it is what it is. I can't in good conscience sit there and watch, you know, any woman, any girl be abused in that way. And I'm sure in some regards throughout my lifespan, I've been guilty of the very abuse that I condemn at this point. Because sometimes we're just part of the system, and behavior that we see is perfectly natural, whether it's in class and you're speaking over a girl, that, you know, I know I've done that. We've all done that. But I think as adults, we're more mindful of ceding space that we've taken away from women so they can, you know, move back into it and live more fully. So I think that we have to stay on top of our boys and do our part, and we have to be willing to check our fellow men.
Yeah.
But I think I'm about drained on this one.
Okay.
I don't know if you have a final thought.
No. We all have to do it. We all have to. The change we want to see, we all are going to have to make that happen.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. So I think with that, we will conclude this round of discussion of toxic masculinity. I'm sure it'll come up again.
Yeah.
Maybe not as a focus, but we'll slide into it, I'm sure, because we slip and slide all over the place on every topic. But I now want to move us into our next segment, which is actually our last segment. And this is that part where we're making a few changes. Whomever has the blacklist, that is their featured segment. And the other co-host has the letter. So this week it is my turn for the letter. So a brista had a question for us, or actually a sister had a question for her bristas. So the question is from Jolanda. Jolanda said she's been seeing her man for nearly 6 months, and he often refers to her as his girlfriend. However, he refuses to change his Facebook status from being single. He's always asking to meet my parents and introduces me to all his friends. So what the hell is going on? Why can't I get a proper update on Facebook? What you got for Jolanda?
The fact that he won't change it is a sign of something. You know, I mean,
because
if he was, if he was excited about this relationship and he was happy, he would have already changed it. You know what I mean? I don't remember if she said how long they've been dating.
Nearly 6 months, as she put it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would just think that she wouldn't have to ask him. He would have already done it. So there's hesitation on his part, obviously, and I wonder what that is. I'm sure she does too. I mean, is he on Facebook? Well, again, you would know the answer to this question, but if he's hardly on Facebook, then maybe I could kind of understand that he doesn't sign into it very often. He doesn't post much. He doesn't read a lot of stuff that people. So it's kind of a non thing for him. I could understand it better if it was like that, but if he's on it all the time, posting and reacting and replying and doing all kind of stuff, and he still won't change it, and I don't know, to me it would be an issue for me too, because it's like one foot out the door. Like, well, I never said that we were together. I never officially changed my status on Facebook to say that we were, we're together. So I don't know how to tell Jolanda how to convince him to change it, or what she could do to get him to change it. But I can understand why she feels uneasy about it.
Okay. Well, Jolanda, child, I have a couple of conditional things. So I'm of a different school of thought on this. I feel like I see too many people that are in relationships that are long-term, damn near engaged, and their relationship status is it's complicated on Facebook. And so I wonder just how valid that classification is. Also, if he is an avid Facebook user and there are pictures of you two together on his profile, and in the real world, you are his girlfriend and he's wanting to meet your parents and you've met all his friends and you are woven into his life in that way with the title, I don't know if I would be that pressed. But I do understand where you're coming from, because you're like, to you, it's like, this is just a simple thing. Go in there and change that shit.
Yeah.
But maybe his personal policy is, I don't need to change it until it's engaged. everybody that would see my relationship status sees all these pictures with you, and I'm calling you my girlfriend in the captions, and you my baby, and everybody that matters to me, they already know who you are, and they know what you are to me. Now, I can't put those words in his mouth, but as I said to a homegirl back in the day, I was like, if you're getting all the luxuries and treatment that comes with being his girlfriend, his woman, his lady, but you just don't have the title.
Maybe you shouldn't really worry about the Facebook status.
Yeah, I just have to wonder if the Facebook status is particularly important at that point. It doesn't sound like the relationship is in dire straits, or I think you would have said that. But again, I understand that you might want to floss on Facebook or on the gram. You can always change your status to say you're in a relationship with him. And if he signs off on that, then showing up on your profile and everybody that wants to know who he is can click on that, because it'll show up as a link, and they can go to his profile, and they will see pictures of you there and y'all smiling and you know, on cruises and shit, whatever it is. I just worry about you potentially alienating a good guy that's just very maybe
low
discreet.
Key.
Yeah. He may. Yeah, I mean, it's not like y'all getting together 3-4 nights a week and he's blowing your back out and you never go anywhere. People don't know he exists. You haven't met any people in his life. You guys seem to be pretty intertwined. So, and I get it. Again, I get it. For some people, they want to see the status change. But what does that really do other than get gums to flapping? Because everyone that matters to him, or by and large, most of the people that matter to him, you've already met him.
Or should have
already met
him. Already
know who you are. Yeah, I mean, well, he's clearly been, you know, he has inserted himself into her life, and, you know, she's met all of his friends. You know, that's his amen corner and committee. So you've met all those folks, and he has not kicked you to the curb, so you passed muster. You in. Now, if you were just one of those people that needs a title, because men do too sometimes, if you need a title, you may want to talk with him about this and let him know how you are feeling about it. And at that point, he can let you know what his personal policy is on this, if he has one. To him, he may not even realize it's that damn serious, because he's loving you hard. He's doing everything that he believes he's supposed to be doing in this relationship, so he doesn't even understand what the problem is. So, yeah. Before you get too upset and maybe say some stuff that you'll regret, even if you meant it, that you may regret, that may be a misunderstanding, you need to actually open up those lips, part those teeth, and say, baby, I need to have a talk with you. Some things are really, you know, I'm concerned about some things. And don't come at him with an accusatory tone. Just ask the questions. You know, I notice, and you know, and don't even say, I notice you haven't changed. It's like, I'm one of those girls that just, you know, I want to be able to look at your Facebook profile and see that you were in a relationship with me. And I'm not seeing that. And I'm just like, what's that about? And he might say to you, well, baby, you getting all the privileges. I didn't bought you, you know, I opened the car door for you, you know, I make you come when I eat your cat. you didn't met my mama. Y'all be sitting there talking and shit. And you know, what else did you need? And at that point, you now understand that to him, the Facebook status doesn't really matter at all. It's all about what the two of you are doing with one another and how he treats you. And how you experience him in that realm, not on Facebook. So if he's amenable, where he's just like, babe, it really doesn't matter to me, and he picks up the phone and changes it right there in front of you, that's, again, another sign you got yourself a good man.
Right.
And you need to be willing to have conversations with him about the stuff that is bothering you, that has you concerned, that you may even be a little afraid of. And don't get mad if he calls you out on your shit saying, that's really petty, babe. That's just what I don't, you know, okay, fine, I'll do it, but that doesn't matter to me. And you may have to take the L on some things.
Right.
Don't demand everything from him. You might have to take a few L's, but yeah, I mean, if this is important to you, so I don't want to belittle it. It is important to you, but you need to find out where he is on this. You guys need to get on the same page. So that would be my guess. I don't think there's anything wrong with him, because if you had said, you know, he's not claiming you in public, you know, every time you see him, he wants some tail, and, you know, he ain't, y'all not going out. You know, it sounds like the relationship is pretty robust and going well. So just make that request. Let him know how you feel about it. If he looked at you like, why? What's the deal? You know, he might be like, babe, I'm not on there. He's like, I upload pictures, but I really don't log in. It's on my phone, but I just upload pictures. That's it. I don't really pay attention to what's on my wall. So find out how he uses it and how important Facebook is to him. And you may just have a discreet brother that will treat you like a queen.
That, you know what? That may be the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have told... I know there are some people, Facebook is very, very important to them. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, you know, maybe when it comes to relationships, maybe we shouldn't be looking to Facebook for validation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, I understand, I understand what she's talking about, you know, being concerned or being worried or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like you said, if he's treating her like a queen, who cares what Facebook says? You know, who cares what the status is on Facebook? Who cares?
Yeah, and he may not be treating her like a queen, perhaps a Contessa or, you know, a duchess, but and she might be the washerwoman. I don't know. She didn't really concretely say that, but it just seems to me that you cannot allow yourself to be alone in this concern. If that's your man, he's supposed to be there with you on that. But he can't be there if you won't invite him in. And everything is kind of whispered and behind his back. You know, we love to talk with you, but we can't change anything. He's the one you got to talk with. So, I know. Any closing words on that, Dark Boy?
That was it. Yeah? That was it for me.
That was it? Yeah. Okay. I think we might clock in under an hour. I don't know.
Maybe. It'll be close.
Yeah, my audio stream is in three parts across two different apps, so the peril of not being able to use my desk at my home and use my desktop computer with my setup that I paid for to do this show, but I'm not going to be that petty right now.
You're not complaining, right?
Yes, I am displaced and I am dissatisfied about it and mildly distressed, but okay. So, I believe I should be quiet because you have some things that you normally say to the people at this point.
Yes. So, if you would like to send your letter for either help a brother out or ask your besta, send your emails to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com and we may just answer your letter on the show.
Yes, yes. And you know, I have an announcement to make.
Yes.
Dr. Pookie is officially on Twitter as Dr. Pookie.
Oh, okay.
I had too many business folk that are on my original profile, and so it just seemed a little unprofessional to mix those crowds together. So I'm now on Twitter as Dr. Pookie. So it's DOCTOR. That's the easy part. And then I have the Bugetto spelling, which is POUQUIE. And that's on Twitter. And, you know, love to hear from you. I'm hoping to do a little more with that besides just post memes for the show and things like that. But to be in contact with folks and maybe even take questions in that forum through DMs and the like. So definitely reach out to us there. The Twitter account for the show itself is PodSexual, so PODSEXUAL. We have things there as well. You can reach us on Instagram at Sexual Healing Pod is the name of our profile there. I know these things got all mixed up, but the technology was doing things, because we still got booted off Pinterest, but you know, I haven't written them a nasty letter yet. And we're on Facebook at Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. You can find us there under that name. We have a Facebook page. So again, there are lots of ways to reach us. If you have a comment on the show, please share it. Actually, the ideal place to share it would be perhaps on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe, share us with a friend or 12 or 20.
Yes.
Give us a review. We like five stars. Four and five. Yeah, you know, we'll aim for excellence and maybe not perfection. But also just comments about things we could do, topics you want to talk about. We are investigating some technology that will allow us to have guests on the show. So we're gearing up for that as well. And so, yeah, we want to be in conversation with you. So in closing, I will say that we are part of the Pods by QPOC family. So that's PODSBYPQOC. No, by QPOC, yes. So that stands for Pods by Queer People of Color, which is the brainchild of our fellow podcaster out there, Mr. Trolificent,
yes.
At Gay Side Stories, as well as Ratchet Ramblings. Two podcasts that I highly recommend. Trolificent gets into a lot of serious topics like we do, but gives you some comedy. And Ratchet Ramblings is all about ratchet reality television.
All comedy, I'm assuming.
Oh, it's comedy, it's shade, it's a lot of reading, a lot of roasting and gagging. It's hilarious. And it'll be out tomorrow. I can't wait. So it's like... So they come out on Mondays with that. And Gay Side Stories is probably already out today. It's released on Sundays. So lots of things out there. If you want to find some new shows and some add to your listening library, check out Pods by QPOC, either the hashtag or @.com on the end, and you will access a directory that has a little something for all people of color of various sexual orientations. So... that is all we have. Do we have a closing slogan from you, Dark Boy, or shall I go into mine?
Just my usual, be good to yourself, be good to everybody else.
All right. And my addendum is, be a blessing out there and not a curse. All right. So we wish y'all an awesome week and lots of joy and happiness and maybe even a touch of sexual healing for whatever's ailing you.
Yep.
All right, y'all. Take care.
All right. Till next time.